this Miami Grand Prix 2024 Betting Picks edition of the F1 Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, NASCAR, F1, and more. Sign up today at UnderdogFantasy.com using promo code RACESGPN to get a 100% deposit match. Get ready for speed.
You just wait, sunshine. You just wait.
Get ready for the passion.
To whom it may concern you.
Get ready for the raw emotion.
Sì, ragazzi! Grazie, grazie, grazie! Dai, forza Ferrari!
Get ready for the F1 Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Now, here are your hosts, Rod Villagomez and Cody Z. Welcome in, everyone, to another episode of the F1 Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. He's Cody Zeeb. I'm Rod Villagomez, and bienvenido a Miami, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Miami Grand Prix. We are back on the United States soil on F1 tracks. And listen, what better way to come back to the United States than to beautiful Miami, Florida, and race some F1 cars, Cody? This is why they take a week off, because they have to travel clear across the globe to get to the other side of the world.
Rod, I'm an Aston Martin. You steered straight into victory lane. Thank you very much, Fernando Alonso. 66-1 last week.
Woo!
2 weeks ago, whatever it was. I don't care when it was. Let's fucking go. Okay, sorry. I had to get that out of the way. Yes, Miami this week. I'm pumped. I'm excited because I got money left over from that 66-1 last Grand Prix to put back on this one. It's fun to have F1 in the United States. Obviously, we know we get three Grand Prix these days. One at a decent time, right? Nice 3 p.m. in the central time zone here. So that's always nice. A little easier to watch than the 2 a.m. starts when they're in China. So I'm pumped and excited. Max Verstappen might win every week, Rod, but doesn't mean you can't win money on F1. We proved that again last time. Love to see it. And that's what makes this shit fun.
You know, and really, honestly, you have to thank Fernando Alonso's strategy altogether for cashing that 66-1, because he started off on softs and everyone was like, what the hell is he doing? And Cody, I knew right off the bat, you were like, let's go. You definitely knew was going to be the right strategy.
Like, oh, this is the move right here. Let's go.
So then all of a sudden, what does he do later on in the race? Puts softs back on and kicks out that fastest lap, and 66-1, here we come. JDK checking in saying Lando is getting a scar face on just in time for Miami. And say hello to my little friend. That's what Lando said.
Did you see that picture, Rod?
Someone
shared the article over in the Discord. He apparently was partying and got a facial injury. So you got to be careful if you're a McLaren driver and you get injured. They might just drop you, Rod.
Woo, you thought your seat was hot before. That could be it. So my question, though, is, obviously it's going to hurt. Can he put a helmet on? That's the question.
I guess he's fine.
You think? I don't know, man. Face injuries suck, man. Face injuries are the worst.
Especially like with the pressure these guys are pulling and the G-forces, that's not going to be comfortable by any means. So be interesting to see. I don't know. I haven't like read up on how bad the injury is or anything. Interesting to see if he ends up with one of those like plastic face shields that the NBA guys wear like underneath of his helmet. I don't know.
Or like serial killers wear. I don't know.
Well, yeah, that too. He's wearing a Jason mask under his helmet. Who knows?
I've seen far too many of those scary movies to trust anybody in one of those masks. But yeah, I mean, and you see when they get out,
who is the Detroit Piston that always had that?
I don't know. Basketball's not my
Richard
sport.
Somebody. I don't remember what his name was. But Rod's not a basketball fan. I forgot.
No. JDK saying Sainz only had 1 week off. After getting his appendix removed,
Norris can suck it out. Yeah, I'm going to have to go with that's you're getting your stomach operated on. probably a little worse than having a scratch in your face.
Owie, my face. No, listen, I'd be a wuss, though. Because you see when they get out and the masks, like, press into their face, that can't feel comfortable if your face hurts. So, I don't know.
Suck it up.
Yes. Well, speaking of NBA, we're talking about playoffs. Playoffs! That's right. Make sure to tune in all week to the NBA and Hockey Gambling Podcast for episodes to get you locked in for exciting playoff action. Let's go, Avs. Let's go, Avs. They're one game away from being able to pass it on to the next round. Plus, it's Derby Week on the Sports Gambling Podcast, so tune in as the guys get you ready for the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. Yeah, most certainly.
Rip Hamilton. That's the guy I was thinking
Rip
of, Rob.
Rip Hamilton. Not Rip Torn?
Richard Hamilton of the Detroit Pistons. I guess Horace Grant must have done it, too, because that's what JDK said.
Oh, yes, he did, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
I think that's a little before my time.
Well, you're right. You're young.
I barely remember the Pistons guy. So.
All right, Cody. This week, F1 goes to the Miami International Autodrome for the Miami Grand Prix. This track, I think I said it before once already, that it looks like a guitar capo in some way, shape, or form. So that is what I think this track looks like. It's got one gigantically long straightaway between turns 16 and 17. It has got a total of 19 turns, right? And we got three DRS detection zones right there before turn 16, and then between turns 8 and 9, and then again between turns 17 and 18. It's going to be a fast straightaway, right? This is a drag race down that backstretch. So that's sector three, it's a pretty long track race. 5.412 kilometers, which comes out to just above 3.1 miles for a total of 308.326 kilometers, which is, again, about 190 miles. Verstappen holds the lap record on this. Surprise, surprise. 1 minute, 29 seconds, 0.708. There have only been two Grand Prix on this. The first one was in 2022, and we are set for 57 laps around this Miami International Autodrome. Yeah, I mean, Cody, there's only been two. So we're digging into the deep, deep history of the Miami Autodrome here.
Actually, yeah, Rod, went ahead and got back in the archives, went all the way back to the first Miami Grand Prix. I feel like there's some things that you can translate going forward into this weekend. So we are going to look at every single Miami Grand Prix that's run. because it can be translated over for sure. But yeah, if you're, again, newer to F1 or checking it out from the NASCAR Gambling Podcast, racing around Hard Rock, it goes kind of around Hard Rock Stadium over in that area where is it still Hard Rock? I don't think it is. I think it might be something Dolphins. Else now, but where the Dolphins play, whatever the hell they call it these days. They're racing over in that area of Miami, and it's fucking Miami, so it's beautiful, of course.
Oh, it's so gorgeous. That track is so beautiful. I mean, and obviously, you know, it brings the stars out. Last year, there was Ludacris and Vin Diesel because of, you know, Fast and Furious. I think that was actually coming out right about that. Maybe that was 2 years ago. I don't know. At one of those points, they were there chopping it up, and yeah, all the stars.
You'll have all the big American stars and international stars too will come up, because obviously Miami, a big destination. Everybody wants to be there anyways. Get the F1 elite status. So will be plenty of celebrity coverage, and it's always cool to see. Again, hey, they're pushing racing. They're getting people involved. So you love to see it.
I want Will Smith out there. And I want him to have Chris Rock out on stage with him as well on a world tour of slapping. I know that's old reference, but, you know, whatever. I am old. And a couple of years ago, that was a brand new thing when this track was first around. So, yeah, again, so honestly, look, when we talk about and we start setting up these races, first and foremost, you have to acknowledge, like we do each and every week, right? The only person to have won a race on this racetrack is Max Verstappen. That has happened twice. It's probably going to happen again this week. I hate it because as a handicapper and as somebody who produces content, each and every week when you come on and say, Max Verstappen's going to win this race, well, it's like, no shit, Sherlock. But by the same token, like, what else can you do? And he's minus 600 to win this race. So do with that what you will.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, hey, it's just get used to it. He's going to win this race. That's why you build around it, Rod. And worked out for us pretty well last time out in China. Guess who won the race? Max Verstappen. Guess who cashed a bunch of different bets, even though we didn't bet him, but minus 600. We did. So that's what you do. You just work that in. You expect it. and you find plenty of other ways to bet on the race, and it pays off quite often for us. So
yes, it does.
It's just, man, that's how it is. It's just, you just got to get used to it. At this point, that's the time we're in, but doesn't make it any less exciting. Again, I don't think they showed Max very much at the Chinese Grand Prix. I mean, most of the time the camera, there were so many good battles throughout the race, and they mattered a lot, and you get Alonso putting on the tires late. Like, things like that are what keep it super exciting and make it a great race. So you just tune out Max, let him go run off and get his victory and have fun out front, and we'll pay attention to the rest of the thing. It feels much like NASCAR this past week, Rod. I was watching that 3-lap down battle for 23rd place to cash my biggest ticket on the day. So, hey, that's what you got to do.
It is exactly what you got to do. It is a sprint weekend, though, too. That is actually worth noting as well. So that means there's one practice, and that will happen on the 3rd at 9:30 Pacific, whatever it is on your 12:30 Eastern. I'm not going to do all the math for you, but yeah, it's 9:30 Pacific. Then the sprint qualifying is also later on that afternoon at 1:30. So, okay, 4:30 Pacific for you guys. Then the sprint is on the following day, the 4th, early in the morning. And then, of course,
Monday,
you got
the 4th.
Monday the 4th. Yep. Yeah, is that Monday the 4th, really?
Not Monday, but it's May the 4th.
Oh, yeah, May the 4th be with you. I was like, Monday the 4th? What are my calendars all
not
off?
On a Monday. No, that'd be kind of weird. But
Saturday.
Yeah, and this was not a sprint race last year either. So, shaking it up, a little different. We had your regular 3 practices and all of that last season, so... this is a little different in that case where we only have the 1 practice, much like last week in China. And then again, the same sprint format that we've had here this season.
Yeah, again. And we're not going to really go over the cards too much for China. Obviously, the 66-1 is the one that matters. So
that was the highlight.
Everything, everything else was kind of like, man.
We didn't get a chance to do why did we not? The one time we didn't do a recap show, Rod, was the week we hit a 66-1.
It's because you wanted to wait. You wanted to delay the gratitude.
Well, yes, exactly. I wanted to continue to talk about it this week. But now, Rod, we're going to put that in the rearview mirror. We're going to hit the DRS and head to Miami.
Look at you. Or push to pass if you're Indy fluent.
Oh, don't use the push to pass. It's not legal right this time, Rod. You can use it, but you're not supposed to use it. But in 10 weeks, when we have our next race, actually 2 races later, then we'll take away your win. I don't know. I'm trying to keep up. It's hard.
Listen, I drive the Mach 5, okay? That little red button is hard to not push. So, all right. We'll give you some bets for this Miami Grand Prix. But first, I would like to tell you all about our friends at Underdog Fantasy. The NBA playoffs are here, and our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, wants to make it a lot more interesting because Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. You can play their pick'em game. It's as simple as picking higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, so much more. And then, of course, in the world of racing, F1, NASCAR, however you want to do it, you pick better than or worse than the projected finishing position of the drivers. You can make entries in just basketball, just racing, or mix it up and get all spicy with it with your favorite sports. You can win up to 100 times your money. Tons of fun. Underdog's available in 30 states as well. Plus, new customers get a pick'em special in the lobby when they sign up. Underdog's going to be running a ton of different promos, bonus cash airdrops, specials, giveaways, and more throughout the NBA playoffs. Make sure you follow at Underdog Picks on Twitter to keep an eye out. Like I said, Underdog's available in 30 states, including California, Texas, Canada. They also just launched Champions, their player versus player format in Florida. So if you want to sign up right now, make sure you sign up with our promo code RACESGPN. Underdog's going to double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code RACESGPN. Can't wait to make Underdog plays for this F1 because, again, it's kind of a little easy to pick these ones. Max Verstappen over a half. Okay, better than over a half. I'll take
it. I've noticed they have they've changed it recently where it's usually fastest lap. They don't give them to win anymore because they realized that was a pretty stupid thing to have on there. But no, there are still great options. Usually you can get them better than 1.5 in qualifying. I take that just about every week. It hits just about every week. So, they offer the qualifying stuff. I feel like there might have even been sprint stuff on there for the Chinese Grand Prix. So if you're not on Underdog, first of all, shame on you. Second of all, promo code RACESGPN. Get in that shit because it's a lot of fun.
Yep, and the bosses definitely notice when you use that promo code, so it gives good juju to us and to you as well. So
yeah, hey, we got our own show specific, or show, it's encompassing to the show and the NASCAR show, of course, but so when you sign up, it, you know, they get a little, hey, you signed up because of Rod and Cody, and we appreciate the positive reinforcement.
We sure do. We sure do. Plus the reviews and all that other good stuff also go a long way as well. So, all right, done pandering, Cody. Let's get to the bets for this Miami Grand Prix. Where do we start?
Yeah, Fernando Alonso, fastest lap, Rod. All right, have a good one. We'll see you guys next week. Oh, just kidding. That might or might not be on the card. You'll have to stay tuned to find out. But we're going to start with the sprint race, Rod. Hey, there's a sprint race, so let's fucking bet on this thing, right? I'm going to take Lewis Hamilton to be on the podium in the sprint race, Rod. Plus 850, the friends over at DraftKings. I'm a little puzzled as to why this number's so big. Now, you're like, well, have you watched Mercedes race this year? Yeah, I get it, Rod. They've not been very good. But we're coming off of a sprint race 2 weeks ago in China where he qualified second in the sprint and he finished second in the sprint. Now, there was weather during sprint qualifying. I get that, and that definitely played a factor. But I'm just going to run it back at plus 850 to land on the podium. I think that if Lewis can come out and set a fast enough time in qualifying, which we know he's highly capable of, right? Laying down one good solid lap. If he's able to get track position to start the race, it's a sprint race. It's short in nature, right? And that doesn't give him enough time for his Mercedes equipment to catch up and put him behind the eight ball and lose a bunch of spots. I think that he can hang on and score a podium finish. Again, you know, it's only going to be, what is the sprint this week? Is what, 20 laps, I think? I don't have it on here. But either way, it's very short. We know it's usually a half hour or so. So, yeah, I mean, really, that's kind of what I'm looking at. So, you know, you go back to China with the second place qualified there, second place in the race. And again, like, Lando was the one who qualified on the pole. He was able to pass him. Obviously, Lando had some issues, and Max was the only guy that was able to get around him. He was able to hold everyone else off. So I'm thinking maybe with it being a shorter run, maybe they can get it done. You go back to last season, like I said, there was no sprint race here, so you can't look at that, obviously, for historical data. But you go to FP1, Rod, George Russell was fastest in FP1, and Lewis Hamilton was second fastest. So maybe they are able to find that magic again, come out with quick cars to open the weekend. Then come out, finish well in the sprint. Lewis specifically lands on the podium. Then we get into the race weekend. Max wins. Perez is probably second. Then you'll have your Ferraris, your McLarens. We know the drill, right, and how it's going to shake out. But I think a plus 850, you're getting a pretty good price on. He just did it last time we were out. Again, understand that hard to bet on Lewis right now. It's hard to bet on Mercedes. They've lacked. We know he's leaving. All of this and that. But I think we just saw it. Let's not overthink it and be like, well, that was such an outlier. Let's just turn around and redo it. So give me Lewis Hamilton to finish on the podium in the sprint race, particularly over on DraftKings, plus 850.
Yeah, and plus 850 is such a fantastic get for him. I mean, we so forget that he was the most dominant driver. He was the Max Verstappen of his time, right, with all the championships, all the race wins. It's so hard to watch him fade into semi-obscurity, but, you know, again, he popped his head out last week, which means he could do it again, which is why I'm going to sort of add on to your podium bet, and I will give Mercedes a double top six finish in the sprint race. Got this currently at plus 225. You know, you look back at what Lewis has done over the last two seasons on this race in particular, sixth place in both of these. He qualified sixth in 2022 and finished sixth. And then in 2023, he qualified 13th and finished sixth. So he moved up through the ranks. Now, granted, he doesn't have a whole lot of time to do that in the sprint race if he does have a bad qualifying effort in the sprint qualifying. But you got to hope that maybe he can qualify somewhere inside of the top eight, pass a couple cars, get into sixth place. Maybe he qualifies sixth again, finishes sixth where he started, because we know not a lot of passing goes on in these sprint races. Wait, not a lot of passing goes on in the main race, but not a lot of passing goes on in the sprint races in particular because it's so short. But the tire strategy is one thing. So I honestly, like I said, I think Lewis will probably be the strongest part of this part of the double six for Mercedes. But you look at what George Russell's done on this track, right? In two races, fifth and fourth. In 2020, second, he finished fifth, by one place ahead of his teammate. In 2023, he finished fourth, two places ahead of his teammate. The only thing that kind of gets you on this one is that he did start 12th in 2022. Again, a lot like Lewis Hamilton, with some places to make up, and that's not easy to do in a sprint race. So a lot of this for Mercedes has to do with qualifying position. Now, in 2023, qualified sixth and finished fourth in that one. So, look, we know that when Mercedes starts around the front, they tend to stay around the front. It's really mainly accidents and bad pit stops that take them out of contention when they start somewhere within that top six. So if they start within the top six, they usually stay within the top six, if not move up a couple even more spots into the top three. So I do like your Hamilton podium, especially at the price, but I also think a decent enough hedge is to take both of these guys as a top six, because at plus 225, it's essentially doubling your money anyways. And if Lewis happens to just accidentally finish fourth and Russell finishes in sixth or fifth, right, you cash this one. But if Lewis finishes in third and Russell finishes in sixth, then you're super rich at that point, because you got the 850 for Lewis on the podium and the Mercedes double top six at plus 225.
Yeah, I like it. And again, you look at Mercedes' body of work this year in all the Grand Prix. They've actually not had a double top six in any of them, the main races. But we're cutting this down. We're just doing the sprint race. If they can get those good qualifying efforts, we think that they can get it done. Nick Fortune checking in the chat. His evening is now complete. Bedtime story for him. He gets to listen to Rod and Cody in the evening hours.
Hey, you're one of the few that share that opinion actually right now. So I want to go on record as saying thank you, Nick, for sharing that with me, because I need that tonight. That and this.
The haters mean you've made it, Rod, which we know you have. I'm just lucky to be here. So like Nick, I'm glad I get to hang out with you this evening.
Amen. All right, Cody, where are we going next?
Yeah, next up for me, Rod, I am going to jump over to Yuki Tsunoda points finish plus 175. This is and this is in the, also just one quick note. Let's back up, throw it in reverse real quick. If you're betting the points finish in the sprint, again, it's only eight positions, not 10. So keep that in mind when you go to place those bets. Like to give that reminder out, because I know that's been a point of, you know, contention before, because it's obviously 10 in the regular race, but it's only eight in the sprint race. So sprint race done, complete. We're now on to the main event. This is where I'm going to take Yuki Tsunoda to finish in the points, which would be a top 10 finish. Plus 175, Rod. Look, Yuki Tsunoda's actually kind of been pretty decent here lately, and he's been getting it done. Not the guy that I thought was going to be the V-car better driver. My guy Danny Ric is letting us down a little bit, but Yuki's been picking up the slack. Go back and you look at every single Miami Grand Prix in history, Rod, and he's got an average finish of 11.5 in both starts, of course, in the two Grand Prix we've had here. 11th last season after a 12th the season before. So if you like trends, 12th, 11th, maybe he'll finish 10th this year. So I like that. But the point being, he's been right there and he's in the area, right? With these points finish numbers, we know the top of the board is very juiced up and you're just getting ridiculous numbers. So you've got to find some guys farther down there that offer you some good odds, that have a good chance of getting in here. I think that Yuki is one of those guys. Had a DNF at China, but Rod, prior to that, 10th place at Japan, 7th place in Australia. So two of his last three here, if it hadn't been for the DNF last week or last race, of course, in China, he's got top 10 finishes, points finishes in the two previous races. So give me some Yuki Tsunoda to finish in the points. And then also, Rod, Fernando Alonso made me some money last time out, so of course I'm going to find a way to get back in on him. I'm going to take him to finish on the podium. He's 10-1 over on Bet365. Also going to take him to finish in the top two. A little bit of a double-up opportunity here for Alonso. 22-1. That's on DraftKings, Bet365, multiple places that you're able to find that, Rod. So let's go back and look at last season. Third place. So that was on the podium, 10-1, right? Now, is this the same Fernando Alonso that we saw at the beginning of last season? Maybe not completely. By the way, he did just sign a contract extension, so he's going to be around a little bit longer, right? He's kind of riding that momentum off of being mentioned in Taylor Swift's song and being able to say, yeah, been there, done that, right? So, and now he gets to come back to America and show everybody, you know, hey, Travis Kelce, look what I did. So there you go. So, third place last season. He was impressive at China. He started third and ran great in the sprint race before he ended up getting in that wreck. But then he looked okay in the main event. Obviously, you know, the strategy kind of didn't go in their favor. That's what he put on the softs. Thank God he did that. Hits the big bet for us. So you like to see that. Sixth place at Japan, fifth at Saudi. So it's not like he's been out to lunch, right? He's not finishing eighth or tenth. I mean, he's in the conversation, right? And we know the two Red Bulls are going to be tough, and it's likely going to be a Red Bull 1-2. But we know that they're also not immune, and Checo can come out and throw. Checo especially can come out and just have a bad qualifying day. And all of a sudden, he's starting 16th on the grid because he got bounced in Q1, and he's going to have to make it. And he'll find his way to the top five still, get a good solid finish, but maybe he doesn't get in the top two. Maybe it opens up another podium spot. Or if he does finish on the podium like he did last season, well, Alonso still finished on the podium with them. Really, it's the two Red Bulls, the two Ferraris. Those are your biggest competition. And then Alonso's kind of in that next group, right, with the McLarens and the Mercedes kind of behind that even. So I think at 10-1, you're getting really good value on Alonso to finish on the podium. And if you're going to take that, why not throw some on the top two finish? Maybe he gets it done. We saw it how many times last season. We know he still has it in him. The Aston Martins aren't bad. I mean, even Lance Stroll gets some decent finishes here and there. And Alonso always is in competition, it seems like. So love some Fernando Alonso this week. Podium 10-1, top two at 22-1. And then again, Yuki Tsunoda to finish in the points, plus 175.
It's good to see that guy could shake it off. Definitely good to see him be able to rebound and do well for himself after all of that.
Maybe he'll be feeling 22 this weekend. Right? Who knows?
All right.
I have a 10-year-old daughter, so I know a lot of Taylor Swift songs.
Well, listen, I guess thankfully for me, both of mine, like, they don't go down that road. My daughter does not make friends easy because she listens to the Doobie Brothers. Like, that's my youngest. She
raised them right, Rod.
Walks into the room and says, "You guys don't listen to the Doobie Brothers?" And like, "Who the hell are the Doobie Brothers?" I'm like, "Oh, that's your guys' parents' fault for not teaching you the Doobie Brothers." Bingo. But all right, so my next bet is also on the main race itself. You want to talk about going off the rails? Listen. For all the double podiums that there is, right? I mean, honestly, we know that Red Bull's double podium number is ridiculously juiced. It's like last time I saw it was like -200, -225.
I think I saw like a -190.
Really? Good for you, because
honestly, Rod,
that might be tempting.
I don't like to give out that juiced of bets.
Me either.
On the show, because it's. I mean, sometimes you got to go certain play, but I'd probably just take that if I was you.
Yeah, me too. But I will go ahead and add on, just in case, a double Ferrari podium at plus 450. If you look back this season, there has been a Ferrari on the podium at least every single race in this season, right? There's been at least one Ferrari. And also, there's been another Ferrari lurking around the outskirts, right? In Bahrain, it was Carlos Sainz that was the third place Ferrari. Charles Leclerc was the fourth place Ferrari. In Saudi Arabia, Charles Leclerc on the podium. Now, of course, in this instance, I think Bahrain was the race where I'm trying to look for the second Ferrari. You know, they all run together. But yeah, so anyway, Charles Leclerc on the podium there in Bahrain, or in Saudi Arabia, rather. And then in Australia.
Well, Saudi was Bierman, remember?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Sainz was out. That was with the appendicitis. But he comes back. Right, Carlos Sainz wins in Australia. Charles Leclerc finishes second, so that's a double podium for them as well. Carlos Sainz in Japan finishes third. Charles Leclerc finishes fourth. So this is not necessarily to say that I think. And then, of course, you look at China. Charles Leclerc finished fourth. Sainz finished fifth. So they finish pretty much back to back with each other. Either one. I'm not even going to try to pick which one is going to have the better finish. I'm just saying that if something happens to Sergio Perez, I mean, Lando Norris snuck his way into the second place there in China. But again, he may not even be in this race. He may be, you know, faced out of it. So we may not see him. But again, if it's the Red Bulls, it's the Ferraris, and they're right there with each other. They're intermingle. They mix. They match. And when they all run together, they all run together. Now, which obviously we're talking Perez falling out of the mix because I'm not really convinced that Max Verstappen is going to be the one. But
it happened. It happened in Australia, so it's not out of the question.
Yep, absolutely. So yeah. So like I said,
it's highly unlikely, but not out of the question.
We're prepping for whatever, as much chaos as you can have in the F1 world, to put both of the Ferraris in the podium, or on the podium rather. And again, at the price, at plus 450, this is not something that has no potential, right? I mean, this is priced like something that's kind of, I don't know if it'll happen, but it could. This has got potential. So I like this at plus 450 for a Ferrari double podium.
Yeah, I think it's a good price because, I mean, let's be honest, Rod, right? It's Max Verstappen, and then I would say it's Checo, and slightly under him are those two Ferraris. And so one slip up in qualifying by Checo, which he's done how many times before, and then all of a sudden you've got the two. Sainz has been Sainz is the one who's been on the podium every race he's been in, I think, right? With the exception of the one he missed. So and Leclerc has been there as well a lot of the time, and so they're definitely clearly that next tier of drivers. And Alonso, I think, is kind of right underneath them, and this is why you're getting a bigger number on him, which makes sense. But, yeah, I like it. I think that it's definitely possible. You're really kind of just rooting for Checo to mess up here, which if you've bet on him enough times, Rod, he does plenty. Unfortunately, I seem to be on the wrong end every single time, but that's okay.
Indeed. All right, what is our next bet for you? By the way, this was a good one because you basically stole this one right from me. I was researching my way into it, and then all of a sudden I look on the sheet and there it is. I was like, ah, damn it, Cody.
Yeah, this was actually the first one that I put in the sheet too because I really, really like this one. So I'm going to go winner without the big five. So you're taking out the top five teams, right? And really, they probably should do this winner without the big four and a half. I mean, the Stroll count is a big five, but again, neither here nor there.
He's the so. Free square.
He's just tossed in there because some weeks it's good, some weeks it's not, right? So Red Bull, Ferrari, Mercedes, McLaren, Aston Martin, obviously those guys are out. So it's whoever finishes better of the five remaining team, the five backmarker teams, which this is a great, again, sure, Max is winning by 25 seconds, but you're watching the battle for 10th or 9th or somewhere in this area where this is going on. So I'm going to take winner without the big five to be Nico Hülkenberg plus 275. Man, Nico has just impressed me so much, Rod. Now, he did just announce this week that he's going to be going to Sauber next year, or within the last week or something like that. But he will be at Sauber next year, so this will be his last year at Haas. But Haas has actually been pretty good this season, and it's been led strongly by Nico Hülkenberg. He has been extremely impressive. So let's go back and look through this season, Rod. 10th place in China. He was the top non-Big Five driver. 11th place at Japan. Yuki Tsunoda was the only one to beat him, who finished in 10th place, so only one spot outside of him. 9th in Australia. Again, Yuki Tsunoda, the only one to bet on him. And again, Rod, we already bet Yuki to finish in the top 10, so maybe you're kind of hedging a little bit. Really, there's a way you could double dip on this if you get a Hülkenberg 9th, a Yuki 10th, something like that as well. You go back to Saudi Arabia. He was 10th place there. He was the top finishing guy again. Had a rough day at Bahrain to start the season, but you go to the last four races and it's been him twice being the top guy, and in the other two races he was second to Yuki Tsunoda. So that's a pretty good record so far. He was 15th here last season, so not the most impressive run by him, and he wasn't with Haas in 2022, so he's only had the one run here. But Kevin Magnussen actually started fourth on the grid last season in this race. So Haas came out, showed some speed. They've definitely shown some improvement this season. I just forgot his name, even though I just said it. What's his teammate's name? Magnussen. There we go. It's late, Rod, so that's what I'm going to blame this on. But I wanted to place this bet on Magnussen at 5-1, and that's kind of how I started. And then I'm just like, man, Hülkenberg just every week has been so consistent, so good. He's been the better of the Haas by quite a bit. So I think Hülkenberg is the way to go here. And you can get in on Haas to be the best finisher. You know, if you want to take the team bet, would be a good way to hedge out of it. But, man, I really like the Hülkenberg side of this. He's been consistent this season. Again, this is four races in a row. We've seen it from him. He's right there on the edge. Doesn't have to finish 10th in the top 10 for this, right? So it doesn't have to be a points finish. He could technically finish 11th if he gets Stroll up in there to finish in the top 10. So it kind of gives you that little bit of extra wiggle room as well. But, yeah, Nico Hülkenberg was kind of the first guy that I researched myself into this weekend. And And I felt like this was a really good spot to get in on him. So it's winner without the big five teams. I think that's pretty much how they listed winner. It's well, they listed as winner without Ferrari, Mercedes, all the Red Bull, all that stuff. But yeah, Nico Hülkenberg plus 275. That one's over on DraftKings.
And I actually did decide, I decided not to put it on the card, but I did think about adding the Haas as the winner without the big five teams in that as well.
See what, do you remember what the number was on that?
Well, it wasn't, that's why I kind of left it off. I think it was like plus 180 something.
It was just,
It wasn't good enough to, well, maybe it was plus 220 something. I don't know. It was in there to the point where it didn't really make too much sense to double up on what you had because you had the better number on it anyway. So, yeah, I like yours. But yeah, I mean, that's where we're at this point. So, yeah, and Magnussen too, because Magnussen could sneak up in that.
It's plus 150. So, I mean, you could definitely consider. I mean, you might be better off just taking Nico and Magnussen at plus 275 and plus 500.
Yeah.
Might be the better way to, again, I'd have to math that quickly, but might be the better way to go about it. Why? Pierre Gasly is listed at minus 10. Is that 10,000 in this? That's got to be obviously a price. They must have been meant to put a plus there.
Please, because there's no way on God's green earth.
Yuki obviously is. Yuki's the favorite of this group, which makes sense because and that's why we bet him on the top 10.
And right? That's so, why I didn't say anything more about him because I was gonna continue to add on to Yuki too. But I was like, let's talk about some other drivers.
It just seems to be of the best of the rest is kind of how you look at this, and it seems to be a clear pecking order like it is in. At the top of the board, right, where it's Yuki and Hülkenberg and then kind of everyone else, and they jumble up and go back and forth. And depending on how long the Sauber pit stops take, maybe Nico needs to reconsider leaving for them next season. But
Well, speaking of pit stops, I'm going back to my favorite bet because I looked through the stats, Cody, and I was like, look, I don't care.
Oh, they've been throwing out some fucking heaters this year, Rod.
Oh, I know. Woo. Red Bull, fastest pit stop. Minus 175. Cody, what about paying the juice? What is that thing we say?
You want to pay the juice if you lose, Rod. And
how are you losing?
Holy shit.
On this one.
Fast this year.
Okay. Let me paint you a picture. All right. This picture begins with the overall fastest pit stop of the season. Belongs to Red Max Verstappen Bull. Red Bull and Max Verstappen. 1.9 seconds last week in China. Oh, guess what? Sergio Perez, a 2.00 second stop. And not to be outdone, but Perez again, 2.05. Three of the season's fastest pit stop, all belong to Red Bull, all came last week. And then you go farther down the list. Verstappen in Japan, 2.08 is the fourth fastest. Sergio Perez in Australia, 2.10, fifth fastest. Sergio Perez in Japan, 2.13. Sergio Perez in Japan again, 2.16. Max Verstappen in Japan, 2.17. And then Max Verstappen in China, 2.18. Max Verstappen actually stopped three times. Or no, he stopped twice in China. But he had two fast pit stops there as well. The first team to beat... the first team to have a top 10 that's not a Red Bull... is Ferrari, 2.18 in Australia. That is 9 of the top 10 fastest pit stops of the season belong to Red Bull. They are up in the standings 178-86 against Ferrari. That is where they're at in the point standings as far as fastest pit stops are concerned. I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, they are, like Cody said, they are throwing down some heaters. We talked about the fact that they had the fastest pit stop in China. They had the fastest pit stop in Japan. They had the fastest pit stop in Australia. They had the fastest pit stop in Saudi Arabia. The only time they did not have the fastest pit stop was in Bahrain to start the season. Ferrari had two of the fastest pit stops before Red Bull's 2.27 mix. So you're not losing this bet. Minus 175, we don't tend to give those out, especially in the racing world, but you're not losing this bet. And what's more, if you really want to go and kind of go contrarian, you can go McLaren at plus 350 because they've actually had some fast pit stops as well. They are on the third on the list as far as total pit stops or fastest pit stops are concerned in points-wise. So it goes Red Bull, Ferrari, but even Ferrari's number is not good enough. I think if you take a stab at McLaren... maybe they get a good fit stop for Lando or for Piastri, and get them out. So,
yeah, that's the way to hedge is you just dump it all on Red Bull and back it up with a little bit of McLaren to cover yourself on the backside in the off chance that they go the crazy one. But man, Red Bull pit crew, they need to do like Fox does and get those fellas on TV, and we need to meet those. I'm curious, Rod. Like, you know, you hear all these, which has been great on the NASCAR side of things, right? Where they're introducing the pit crew and let them say their thing and sexiest bald man. But they're telling you all these football teams they played for and stuff. And I've seen them up close and in person. Like, these guys are fucking dudes. My God, it's crazy. But like, what about these F1 pit crews? Are they a bunch of former like rugby players or soccer players? Being
Australian rules football players.
Australian rules football. There you go.
That would be fun, actually, to have a bunch of Aussies out there just throwing stuff around.
They don't work quite as hard as the NASCAR guys, right? They kind of just sit there and pop the gun on and take the tire on and off. But hey, they're fucking fast at it, so that's all that matters.
Love it. All right, well, this is the point of the show where it's funny, Cody. When we first started this show 60 episodes ago, or you know, we thought, well, we'll give out the winner, right? Because this usually is our traditional winners part of the square, right? We said this is where we put the winners. Well, we found out quickly that it's very difficult to put just the same winner in there every week, so we just sort of turned this into another bet.
It's also hard to bet on Max Verstappen -700. You only pay the juice if you lose, so but yeah, we're not going to give that advice out. So no. Hey, you could take your random stabs at long shot winners and stuff if you really want to, but Rod, what we've found to be successful, i.e. look at the Chinese Grand Prix, you take some stabs at fastest lap, and it's not just, again, I don't know how many times I say this, but it's so true. We don't, and we did this in the Cup Series for NASCAR last week. We had a 24-1 in the Cup Series, and it's a longer shot bet, but we're not just giving these bets out. We hit an 80-1 winner over there earlier in the season. We don't just give them out to give them out willy-nilly. There's generally a pretty good reason for it, and you can find some numbers to back it up. Kind of was a little willy-nilly last week with Alonso. I think I just said I was feeling it, but hey, I was feeling 22, and I felt 66-1 later on in the day, Rod. So that worked out pretty nicely. So, all right, fastest lap for me. Look, how do you not go back to Fernando Alonso after what happened last week, Rod? So we're going to do that. 33-1 for Fernando Alonso over on Bet365. We proved it at China. Anybody can hit these, even, you know, Fernando Alonso, whoever it is. So he got it done. And you look, and it was Fernando Alonso, it was Max Verstappen, and then it was Zhou Guan Yu with the third fastest lap at China last week, Rod. So not like it was crazy. You go back to last season in this race, it was Max Verstappen, again, fastest lap. And that's always going to be, Max can lay the fastest lap down just about any time he really tries. But it doesn't always work where he gets the perfect conditions at the perfect time with the perfect tires. You get someone that pops in, they run that lap. It worked out perfectly with Alonso, had that soft tire to get in there, and it worked out. So Max, Alonso, and even Hülkenberg was a top five fastest lap guy last season here at Miami. So there can be some variance in there. We've seen it. So Fernando Alonso, 33-1, and then Rod, Zhou Guan Yu, 250-1. Bet365, calling my shot right here on Zhou Guan Yu. He's popped up and done this multiple times. I think we saw him get two fast laps last season. He's been like top two or three multiple times throughout time of this podcast, where I continue to look at the fastest laps and I'm like, God, he just keeps popping up. Like, you're not seeing that much from him on the racetrack. I mean, he's not, but he can go out there and lay down a fucking fast lap if you want him to. And I think 250-1. When he was the third fast lap guy last time we were out at China, come on, Rod, give it to me. Zhou Guan Yu, 250-1 fastest lap. Fernando Alonso, 33-1 fastest lap. Those are my long shots of the week for you. Really, they're all long shots for me this week, Rod. +175, and there was my non-long shot, but feeling good after how China treated us, and I think that Miami will treat us well as well.
You are feeling the flow. It's circular, right? It's all in the hips. All right. So listen, I can't argue with you on fast laps. It's a lot like winning car numbers in NASCAR for me. You can't argue with that for me. I can't argue with that for you. And wouldn't it be fun for Zhou Guanyu to just throw a set of softs on at the end of the race and say, fuck it, I'm going, let's go.
It just works out where he ends up in the right. And it's like, let's go grab a fucking point here. We know we can do it. Track conditions are perfect. We've got the thing. Love it.
Yep, me too. All right, well, listen, I'm feeling a podium finish for Carlos Sainz. We talked about him earlier in the show as far as all of his accolades go, and especially this season, right? I mean, he's the only other driver outside of Max Verstappen to have won a race in this season, and he's been in the podium more than he hasn't. So plus 135, if you're still getting Carlos Sainz at plus money for a podium finish, I know it's not, like, the sexiest of numbers. It's still kind of in that range of, like, but again, plus 135 on any other sport would be a hell of a bet, right? If you're talking about hockey or football or whatever, you're talking plus 135, you're grabbing that, because especially in this instance where Carlos Sainz lives either in or outside of the podium, like, this has a chance of hitting. If you got a better than 50-50 chance of hitting this and you're getting this at more than plus 100, I'd say that's a pretty decent bet to make. So plus 135 for Carlos Sainz to be on the podium. And then I'm going to go ahead and sprinkle out. I know this is the hometown race for Logan Sargeant. I get it. Well, hometown, but home state, I suppose, if you want to go that way. And home country, and basically Logan Sargeant's at home. However, that doesn't necessarily...
He's not going to get that Yuki Tsunoda home bump, Rod?
He does not get that Yuki Tsunoda home bump. And the problem with that is just the simple fact of the matter is he hasn't been finishing well. In fact, if you look back at all the races, Logan Sargeant has been the lowest, or the last qualified driver in more than half. So that kind of tells you right there that he hasn't been running well all season long. And unfortunately for Logan Sargeant, it hasn't gotten any better. It's not that he can't do it, I don't think, because he's shown some, you know, he's had a top 12 finish at one point in his career. He's had pretty decent runs. But something always jumps out to get him. Something always happens, and then all of a sudden, here we are talking about Logan Sargeant not being able to run well or getting lapped or, you know, whatever is the case. So it's sad because you feel bad for Logan Sargeant. You want him to do well in his home race, but he's pretty much just probably not going to do well in his home race, unfortunately. And he didn't do very well in last year's home race either. He finished dead last, a lap down. Right, he was, by all rights and accounts, the last qualified driver on the track because he was there and he finished as a qualifier. But, you know, he did finish 16th in 2022, and he was only two drivers away from being the last. It was Nico Hülkenberg and Valtteri Bottas who were the last two on that one. So, yeah, it's not that I don't think he could do it, but I think he's probably going to be a backmarker again. And then, since I just mentioned Valtteri Bottas' name, he's at 18-1, Cody, for the last qualified race car driver. My only handicap, outside of the fact that it happened 2 years ago, right? He was the last qualified driver in the race, is that this dude spends, I think he's still in the pits right now, waiting to get his tire
changed.
This
is the perfect, I just thought of this while you were, I saw this in the sheet while you were talking, I was like, Discount Tire or Mavis Tire and Brakes, one of these companies needs to get behind him and just build an on-site store, and Valtteri Bottas pulls in and they change the tires faster than his picker could get it done because they're so fucking slow. Talk about how fast Red Bull is. Holy shit, these guys are slow.
Well, it's funny because I went in earlier this week to get my tires changed. It took me 2 hours, and I tweeted out, or I put it out in the Discord. I was like, it took me 2 hours to get my tire changed. I felt like a Valtteri Bottas pit stop. That's where I was
at. I literally laughed out loud when I read that.
It was good. That was pretty fun. I was sitting there watching him going, Jesus Christ, guys, can we get, I mean, listen, I just, this Kick Sauber is not, this crew is not doing me well right now, so. Again, I feel like Valtteri Bottas is a better one than Logan Sargeant, but given the fact that Sargeant has been one of the last qualified racers,
you got to find a way to bet on the American for this race, right?
Unfortunately, it's for the wrong reason. Logan,
we found the best way to bet on Logan.
I would love for you to jump up and get a podium again. Let's have a beer together. Let's talk this out.
Top 15, all right, Rod. Let's podium.
Points finish for Logan Sargeant this week. That'd be great.
If that's the case, you better just take the under on the classified finishers bet. He's some chaos in this race.
Take the under on the qualified finishers and take him to be the last one, because that would be 10 qualified finishers and he'd be the last. So you double dip on that one. Go. So find a way to get in on the American on this race, in this Miami Grand Prix. Speaking of the, I
love the bodice play too. It's a great number, especially for the circumstances surrounding it, right? With the pit crew and how they fuck everything up.
Yeah. I mean, again, the only way that this really doesn't happen is if either one of them ends up wrecking out, or both, you know? And if Sargeant ends up wrecking out, I mean, if you put something on both of these guys to be the last qualified finisher and Botas ends up doing it, you're not going to care. You're not going to care at all that Sargeant crashed out. So yeah, that'll be for you to decide how you want to do it. But like I said, when I saw Botas, I was like, do I really want to do this to him? But I was like, yeah, I guess I will. So we'll see how that works.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's go over our bets for this Miami Grand Prix as we come back to America for F1. Cody started you out with Lewis Hamilton on the podium for the sprint race. Again, for the sprint race at plus 850. I said that Mercedes would have a double top six finish in the sprint race as well at plus 225. Cody's turning to the main race to say Yuki Tsunoda will have a points finish at plus 175 on the Sunday race. And Alonso on the podium at 10-1 on Bet365. Or if you just want to kind of take the, it's not a car lift, I suppose, in F1. I guess it could be a car lift sort of. Alonso to be in the top two at 22-1 in the main race. I also said that in the main race, Ferrari would have a double podium finish at plus 450. Cody said Nico Hülkenberg would be the winner without the big five teams involved at plus 275. Look, I said if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Red Bull fastest pit stop, minus 175. And if you really do want to fix it, then McLaren at plus 350 would be a decent hedge. Cody started you, also gave you Fernando Alonso as a fast lap at 33-1. And Zhou Guanyu at 250-1 as a fast lap as well. I said throw Carlos Sainz on the podium at plus 135 and take Logan Sargeant at plus 125 or, I suppose, Valtteri Bottas at 18-1 to be the last qualified finisher in the Miami Grand Prix. I promised you guys Will Smith, but I don't like copyright issues, so I think I'm going to not get sued today, and we'll just not play Miami.
Oh, damn it. That's all right.
Sorry. I'm already in enough trouble on the internet. I don't want to get in trouble more.
Way to go, Rod. Jeez, this is why we can't have nice things.
Well, if next week...
By the way, that's a Taylor Swift song, too.
Yeah, I know. If next week the F1 Gambling Podcast is hosted by somebody different, Cody Z will have a new co-host. You'll know why.
I hope not.
All right. Okay, well, then, again, keep an eye out. May 3rd will be the sprint, the practice. And then into the sprint festivities. So that will be where that race begins. Look, I'm just excited to watch it again. I hate weeks off of F1. I really do. It's sad because as much as F1 starts to become a parade, like those cars are so fast and it's so much fun to watch still.
And again, even though Max wins by all this every time, whatever, like it's always fun. There's always good racing. There's still good action throughout the field and betting on it, having the DFS sweats, it all makes it worth it. So we do have a week off after this, Rod, but then back-to-back races at the Emilia Romagna something in Italy, and then Monaco. Oh, it's almost the big, big weekend in racing with Monaco, the Indy 500, the Coke 600. Oh, looking so – it's the month of May, Rod. I know it's April right now, but this is for a race in the month of May. Oh, it's a great, great race. Great month for racing.
It's gonna be my JDK saying, I know I'm way behind, but I work with a guy from the UK. One of his buddies works in the pits for Williams. Oh, cool. At least you didn't say Kick Sauber. Also trains MMA. See, there you go. That's what we're talking about. These guys are buff. That's why I can never be a pit crew guy. I could be the cheerleader in the pit crew. Go, guys. You got this. Yes. Go. But other than that, no. I
would love to see that, Rod. Go ahead and get a little, you need to get a Kick Sauber cheerleading outfit. And we'll see. We need to see a video of you cheerleading them on while they're making the next Valtteri Bottas pit stop.
I may need to pick a new career, so that doesn't sound all that bad to me at this point. So, all right, Cody, let's get out of here before I'm canceled. Let everybody know where they can find you on social media outside of the safe confines of this podcast.
Yes, follow me on the X at @HouseCornerZ. Find all my stuff over there. Again, if you're listening to this on the F1 Gambling podcast feed or wherever you're listening, you want to check it out over on YouTube. We are over there at the NASCAR Gambling podcast feed. And we go live for these episodes as you heard us interacting with the chat. So make sure you join us on the next one by clicking the bell.
Please do. Follow me on Twitter at @RJVillaGomez for as long as it's up. I may cancel it pretty soon. But in the meantime, you can find everything I got going on, whether it's here, whether it's Sportsbook Review, In Between Media as well. So much fun to be talking F1 with you guys. I needed this tonight. So thanks, Cody. Thanks to all you guys for hanging out with us as well. Thanks for listening to each and every one of you. Like Cody said, go ahead and leave that review. Let everybody know that you love this show because we love you as well. All right, let's enjoy Miami. Let's cash some bets. Catch us in the Discord on the F1 channel. So until then, everyone, let's go racing. And Benito, Miami, and let it ride.